Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. I'm Will Leach and together we're going to be finding out about something called Present, a new three-year initiative from the church helping us to refocus on what some people call an age of distraction, be it life, work, family, our busyness, our phones, our devices, endless scrolling, anything which might keep us from God and our church. I'm joined by a man who can help. The Reverend David Thompson heads up the church's Council for Congregational Life and Witness. David, welcome.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to our conversation.
Now, what we're doing these days is helping everyone understand what present is. Give me the summary. What is present?
Absolutely. This is something that was launched at the General Assembly back in June. We're just coming out of the summer, so everything's kind of gone quiet on a lot of things in our church life. So we are very much coming back to this to really ramp up the engines on this initiative. So present is a way of congregations thinking about some of their main activities around what they do in worship in terms of engaging with God and what members of the congregation do in their personal worship, what they do together as they gather in all sorts of activities, and what they do in terms of trying to reach their neighbourhoods and their networks. It really is as simple as that. It hopefully will provide a bit of a framework, a bit of imagination, a bit of a help and a step up for congregations who want to engage with it.
Immediately I'm thinking there were a lot of people from a lot of churches at Assembly who voted that we should be doing this. What was the need? Why did people feel we needed an initiative and to call it present? We'll get into the nitty-gritty of how it works presently, but what was the need that made it come about?
Our department is called the Council for Congregational Life and Witness, and its big focus is on supporting the development of the kind of things and activities that churches do right throughout the week, Sunday right through to the following Saturday. And during the COVID pandemic, that became extraordinarily difficult, as everybody will know themselves, difficult in the congregation and difficult for us because there was a lot of things that were difficult to stimulate in that period. And even coming out of the pandemic, well, we knew that we had to be very careful in what we said because everybody's church life had been affected differently. The rate of coming back to activity was different for different people. And I think our department fell into what was a wise thing to do, which was basically accompany people on the journey at whatever stage they were on. But I think coming now into a phase beyond the immediate pandemic phase, we were beginning to sense there needs to be something a little bit more than that denominationally. We needed to help people refocus and recalibrate their church life. It's not that we can do that for them, but hopefully we can give them eyes to see what that might look like and encourage them along the way. Everybody needs a bit of encouragement at the moment, whether it's big church, small church, rural church, urban church, church in Northern Ireland, church in the Republic of Ireland. I think it's been an incredibly difficult phase for people in churches, ministers, elders, other leaders, members, just to begin to come to terms with all that's happened and try and think about what comes next. And so as much as anything else, this initiative is just about let's encourage one another.
Which means, of course, that there are people who desperately wanted encouragement or just wanted a bit of encouragement. What kind of things were you hearing from people? This is what it's like for our congregation post-pandemic, post-COVID. We've noticed X happening. We've noticed a bit more of this, a bit less of that.
Yeah, that's exactly where this came from. So if you sit in the balcony in your church, you get a very different view of what's going on than if you sit downstairs, don't you? And in many ways, our department's a bit like that. It spends a lot of time in the balcony trying to listen and look and learn from what's happening right across the church. And it's taking that bigger view from above. And then it also spends a lot of time navigating the aisles on the ground floor and talking to lots of people who we're meeting informally as we go around churches and do work, who we meet over cups of coffee, and also formally in our committee structure as well, where it's members here coming from the various presbyteries to people those committees, and we're hearing that voice. So very much this initiative came from walking the aisles and being in the balcony. So one of the things we heard was around a loss of basic habits. So everybody knows it took a little while to get people to come back to church. Some people never did. Some people who've been coming for years, Sunday by Sunday, never missed, never came back. In that whole conversation as well, we were beginning to hear people are less regular about their attendance. There's all sorts of reasons for that, maybe good and bad, and understandable and justifiable, and sometimes, to be honest, just a little bit lazy. So one of the things we knew had to happen was a very intentional focus on how do we make ourselves present to God and the importance of that. And that is through regular attendance at worship and also Bible study and prayer on your own. When I was growing up, well, those were the two things were drummed into you as a young person. Read your Bible and pray. I wonder if we lost a wee bit of that.
I can hear my father talking about the ordinary means of grace.
Absolutely. That's exactly it, in old language, as it were. Then one of the other things we heard a lot of reflection on was how are we going to gather together? So being with one another in church life requires a fair bit of infrastructure around it. And that became difficult, I think, coming out of the pandemic, because lots of people had lost leaders. Other people were saying people are willing to give less. Other people were noticing that people's rhythm of life had changed, and that was impacting on the rhythms of church life as well.
A lot of people, I think, probably knew that they needed to ease back a bit. They'd been overdoing it as well,
yeah,
to be fair to people.
And added into that mix, as lots of churches have got smaller, the infrastructure that they have is still for a larger, medium-sized church, and servicing that is becoming increasingly difficult. So how are we going to gather together? How are we going to be present for one another in the family of God became a really important question as well. And then the third aspect of present that really arose from all that questioning and all that reflection and all that conversation was a really important one for us today as well. How are we going to be present where God has placed us to be his witnesses? And I think that's about two things, and there's two aspects of this. One is how are we going to be present in our neighbourhood? Because the community around us has changed and is changing, and the ways we've connected with it in the past are not necessarily the best ways to do it today. But also, how are we going to be present as witnesses in our networks, in our family, in our street, with the people that we work with, where we go to socialise, in the sports club? How are we going to be present as witnesses there? Because a lot of our witness these days has to be very relationally aware and attuned, and that also has become really important. So those felt like three big things that came out of the season, if you like, following the pandemic. I don't want, mind you, to frame this as if this has all come about because we had problems. Because one of the amazing opportunities that we saw during the pandemic as well was a denominational coming together. So lots of my staff team were furloughed, and yours truly was left holding the can in many ways. And of course, we couldn't go out and do all the things that we used to do. And we got online and we started to do things, and there were podcasts and there were webinars, and there were all these ways we were engaging with each other. But I tell you what, I don't think in my life as a Presbyterian, born right into this church, I ever saw a moment where there was a real coming together. And it definitely wasn't a one-size-fits-all, because everybody was experiencing this differently. But there was much more of a sense of all for one and one for all.
That's very interesting.
And that's what I'd love this initiative to begin to continue to stoke the momentum of, because as denominations today and as the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, we need to think about how we express that and what that looks like today and how we encourage one another.
I think it's true, a lot of churches decided to use the pandemic time, and sessions were often meeting virtually online and so on. And a lot of them, and my church did this, we sort of sat down and reassessed. Do you know what, when we come back after this, as we know we will, do we actually want to do everything the same way we've been doing it?
Yeah.
We were so proud of ourselves for thinking about this until I was talking to the new moderator at the time, David Bruce, and he said, well, everybody's doing that. It's very, very common for people to think, will we do it the same way when we come back? Now, you've talked about three areas: re-establishing intentional time with God, church community life, outward witness being part of your community. The word present sums that up. Who had the bright idea? Who had the big branding moment to come up with present?
Oh, do you know, I can hardly even remember that, and that's probably a good thing. So where did this idea come from? That's a really important question, actually, to ask about church life generally. Where do ideas and innovation come from? Because a lot of us expect that they'll come from the minister, they'll come from the Kirk session, they'll come from the top down. But actually, often they bubble up from underneath. And the story of present really is that it's bubbled up from underneath. And I think I've tried to convey that already. Mm. The actual word seemed important to us because it needed to be simple enough that people could wonder what it was. What is that? And also it needed to be encompassing enough that it could sit over those three themes. And it needed to have intentionality about it. So in one sense, people could hear this and think, there's nothing new here. There really isn't. I mean, we can all go to church and worship and come at the right time and stand up and sit down at the right time. But are we being present to God? That's so much more than that. That's a heart, soul, mind, heart and strength thing. Likewise, the word present seemed to sit well with the idea of being present for one another. So again, there's something going on there that's more than just we're sitting beside people or we're in the same room or we're in the same space. We're actually journeying with one another as disciples of Jesus. So present for worked for that. And then present where also has that active intentionality about it. It's not just an accident that our church is on this corner. It's not just an accident that this is my workplace. God's in that and God's behind that. So the actual word came from there. The really remarkable thing about this, Will, that I've just loved is once the idea went out there, we just put it out there in all our committees and with our staff team and with the other councils around the church, and we got other people talking about it and really tested, does this thing seem to fit? And people came back and said, yeah, I think there's something here. And I just found in that personally a quickening of the Holy Spirit. That's the word I would use. It's an old-fashioned word. It's the kind of things the Puritans who wrote the Westminster Confession would have talked about, a quickening. But it's a great word, isn't it? It's like there's momentum behind this. That's what was happening. And I've just loved watching that and seeing that.
Well, that's very, very interesting. I'm going to ask you to use an analogy for us, because I know you've also done some devotional work in helping people understanding these concepts, and you've done it with the story of Moses and the burning bush. How did you use that piece of scripture to help people understand this?
So that was a really funny moment as well that I was just describing in the committees. So we had no guiding Bible passage or guiding image. And then we're sitting in this committee one day, and you know, people think committees are boring, and let's face it, sometimes they are.
Well, they frequently are.
Yeah. This one wasn't like that, though. There was this moment where this guy said, well, you know, the thing that we all have in our church is a picture of the burning bush. And we thought, yeah, it is. And that's a great story about God makes himself present to Moses, and then Moses makes himself present to God. And then we were just, that's where we were going with it. And it is a great story because it comes right out of who we are as Presbyterians. I mean, this is one of those seminal stories that forms us and who we are, and that's got the logo that goes with it that everybody instantly recognises. And we just thought, again, God's in this in terms of the story and the identification of that story and the way it just speaks really well into who we are, which is really important, because I can't emphasise enough that this is not about changing who we are. This is about bringing the best of who we are with us and trying to think about how do we express this today. What's it like for us to meet with God like Moses did at the burning bush? What's it like for us to be called to work with a bunch of people like Moses was with the people of Israel and to make his contribution to that and be part of the give and take of that story? And what's it like to see God do something on a way bigger scale like that story ends? So that's kind of what we're looking for.
There is an element, though, of, you know, Moses would have woken up most mornings and thought, I look after livestock and now I have to go and talk to Pharaoh.
Yeah, and let's face it.
And I'm not popular in Egypt, you know.
Yeah, and that's how most of us feel today, isn't it? Because most of us feel, I'm not really very confident about this, this and this. And actually, this is a world that used to cheer us on, but now chops us down. And so actually, how good a fit is that as well?
Hmm. People in pews in Presbyterian churches up and down the length and breadth of Ireland tend to think in who they know in church, who their minister is, if they have one, who's on their session, and it can be a very few people, who's in committee, who opens the door on a Sunday morning, who locks up when everybody goes home, who do they meet at their midweek. They don't think very often about assembly buildings and councils for congregational life and witness or anything else, quite frankly. So what I want to know is how this is going to work in practice, how the duties you have where you're one of the councils that does things for congregations and assists and let's encourage you and let's bring you with us and let's give you something to work with. How is this going to work in practice?
That's a great question, and I completely agree with the reality that you've described, and actually I want to affirm that reality. So one of the things I often say about the particular ministry I have and that our staff team have and that our council have is that it's very much a second fiddle ministry. The first fiddle is being played in the congregation. Always. It's always about the local church. You'd expect me to say that when I work for a council that's called the Council for Congregation Life and Witness. So absolutely, this might just be background music. And if it's just background music, it will do a particular job. But it could also be much more than that for congregations because it does provide a very simple framework for them to reconstruct their activities throughout the week, the way they think about things with that active intentionality that we've talked about. It's really up to congregations to see how this will work for them. We are well past the stage, I think, in church life of thinking that there's a silver bullet, that there's a paperback book to be bought, usually written in America, that we can just lift and shift into what we do on Sunday in our place and what we do throughout the week in our place, and this will help us reach our community. We need to get way beyond that, and I think most people will appreciate the fact that this has got some real simplicity about it, but that is actually what could make it so significant. Also, I think it's really difficult to speak into a denomination because there are big churches, small churches, well-resourced, not so well-resourced, some that are having a great time, some that have been through a really difficult time, some that you mentioned a moment ago don't have their own minister at the minute, and that brings its own challenges as well. So with that reality in mind, there had to be something that everybody could take hold of and nobody was excluded from. And I really hope, and we really hope, that that's what this represents. It's simple enough that anybody can take hold of it and make it work for them.
What are we going to see in this first year?
Yeah, so we're really working to a 3-year plan. And part of the reason for that, Will, is that we have had initiatives a little bit like this before. So some folk who are listening will remember a previous 5-year initiative called Fit for Purpose, and it rolled out 5 denominational themes that were really important to us over a 5-year period. And it did some really good work. That's where a lot of the first video material that we did came from. I think there was a bit of momentum behind that. There was a bit of a sense that we're in this together, which is what we're looking for as well. But what people observed was that they didn't have a chance to embed the theme. By the time they'd got what it was, and they'd maybe engaged with some of the resources, they were on to the next year. Mm. And that's incredibly difficult whenever you think that an active church year really runs from September to June, with a big block in December taken out because we're all singing carols.
Or God's away on his holidays in the summer.
And then,
apparently.
God's away on his holidays in the summer, and also after Easter, it just tapers off a lot quicker than it used to. So there's little time to embed things. So year one, and this podcast is part of this, is really just, can we help the denomination, as many congregations, as many members, to get the ideas we can? So you'll be hearing a bit about this through all channels. Year two is much more about, let's gather some stories of what congregations that are doing that are an expression of being present to God as his people, that are an expression of being present for one another in the family of God, that are an expression of being present as witnesses where God has placed us. And those stories will be important because those stories will have to be accessible. So there'll have to be stories where people have done a simple thing, but it's been significant. They'll have to have a certain adaptability about them, because that overcomes the thing that we all say, especially in Ulster Scots culture, oh, that wouldn't work here because it's got to push beyond that. And then it's just got to be something that fires the imagination, that says, oh, I've got the idea behind that. I can see why they've done this. So what are the questions that they ask that we need to be asking that will help us birth our present thing, whatever that's going to be?
This is the hardest question I'm probably going to ask you in this conversation, but when you say stories, we haven't had those stories yet. We've just started getting the idea over to people. But can you find an example of the kind of thing that's happened in the church which might illustrate what you might expect to hear about?
Yeah, and that is a challenge, as you say, not least because, again, and this is maybe a particular Ulster Scots thing as well, we don't like to blow our own trumpet.
So, oh no, sure, him and his mother.
Yeah, exactly. So it is quite difficult to harvest those stories, whether that's for the Presbyterian Herald or for this kind of initiative or a podcast or whatever. That is part of the challenge. However, I do think as well that part of this initiative is to say to congregations, you're already doing some of this, and it might seem really ordinary to you, but take a step back. Isn't God in it? Can't you be encouraged by this? So what kind of stories might we be thinking about? Well, I can think of a congregation that's taken a bit of a step back to think about how it's going to be present to God in worship, because they began to realise that the way the service ended was pretty abrupt. So there was that response section of the service didn't really have enough space for people to really reflect, what has God said to me today? And so they've found ways to elongate that just by slowing things down, just by introducing some more prayer, and just in simple ways like that. Now, that might seem a really simple thing, but you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of part of the parable of the sower, where part of what happens with the seed that is sown is the birds of the air come down and take it away before it can find root. I think that frequently happens.
It was sown and then it's gone.
At the end of the worship service. So God has spoken to me. The service comes to a fairly abrupt end. Of a million people to talk to about things, or a cup of coffee where I talk about the rugby yesterday, and it's gone. It's gone. Now, that's a really simple thing I've described, but that could be really significant in terms of being more present to God in worship. One of the huge things that's coming out of the post-pandemic period is that people are realising that the old model of pastoral care that's completely dependent on the elder's visit a couple of times a year to know what's going on in people's lives is not really working anymore. Elders will tell you that, and they're increasingly uncomfortable with it. People will tell you that doesn't really fit the rhythm of life that we have anymore. So some congregations are now experimenting and trying to find a different model of pastoral care that's a lot more dynamic, it's a lot more relational, that's a lot more broken down, so it's not just the elder's hand on the safety net, but more people's hands are on the safety net. Again, that is not a simple thing, actually. That's been quite complex to work through for some congregations, but it's a very significant change in how we're present for one another in the family of God.
That's fascinating, because a lot of elders will tell you, increasingly in the 21st century, it's very hard to get across the doormat into someone's home and have a conversation. That's not what people expect you to do. That's not what people want you necessarily to do, which would have been, you know, 50 years ago, I haven't seen my elder, I want them around the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just a completely different way of thinking. In the three areas, your personal time, presence with God, your presence together as a church community, your presence in your wider community. You used some very interesting words right at the beginning about discipline and habit and maybe occasionally laziness. Not easy to say, but we all know when we've done it. Have you noticed changes? Have you noticed ministers telling you or sessions telling you, look, we've noticed there is less devotional discipline amongst our congregations. People aren't having personal prayer. People aren't reading their Bibles. People aren't saying, I need to get to bed in a decent time on a Saturday night so I can be up to get to church on Sunday. Has that changed?
I think there's no question of that. I think I hear that regularly all the time. And so one of the big things that we've tried to do as a council coming back out of the pandemic period is to really get to the bottom rung of the ladder now and start again really fairly far back from where we used to be.
And let's assume nothing.
Yeah. And so one of the examples of that is that we've just released a resource called Finding Your Voice in Prayer. And it is definitely bottom rung of the ladder to help people just gain confidence in praying out loud with others. Now, we might have been doing all sorts of fancy prayer ministry things not so many years ago. And there's great validity in those and there's nothing wrong with those. And those are good things if you can do them. But for lots of people, we're starting at the bottom rung of the ladder. But you know what? That's okay. We're a very much a back to basics people. That's what the Reformation formed us in. So there's no bad thing in going back to basics and getting those right from time to time. Mm. And you do the basics well, you usually win the game.
As a community then, as a church, you know, as faith families, we talk about all sorts of new words, intergenerational communities, blah, blah, blah. But as church communities, families together for Christ, are we not as good as at that as we used to be? Don't we look out for each other the way we used to be? I don't know. What do you think?
I think towards the start of the podcast, you talked about living in an age of distraction. And I think that's definitely maybe the biggest factor in this, that all of us are so easily distractible now. And how much time do you spend on your phone that you might used to spend talking to another person? Those things are massive. And to think that we are not being shaped by that is just completely naive. So we are, on the one hand, being discipled by the world into one way of living that is pretty atomized and that is pretty look after yourself and make sure you've got time for yourself. Meanwhile, Jesus is saying to us, no, it's about love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength and your neighbour as yourself. So there is something about how we recapture that thought for our fellow family member in the life of the church. That said, I do think playing into this as well is what I said earlier, that the infrastructure that we have for that is pretty labour intensive and people intensive and time intensive. And we're going to have to look at that again because that's probably not going to see us into the future.
And when we come to our communities, we've touched on it. We talk about a world where there's social media on an internet which takes no prisoners. And if you express an unpopular view or a non-trendy view, you can be absolutely roasted alive for that metaphorically. And I think that makes a lot of Christians in their community say, you know what, I don't want to bother anybody. I want to be known for being a nice person, but I don't want to be bothering or upsetting my neighbours just because they might live their lives differently or disagree for me or not understand why I believe there's a God entity in any sense. Are we falling down in how we integrate with our communities as a denomination? That's a massive question. How many churches are we talking about? But you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think over the piece, we have got better actually at engaging with our communities. And you can see that in the explosion of activity like mother and toddler group that are not completely based around the members of the church, but are much more trying to serve the community and bring other people into that space. I think where the challenge lies in the next phase, mind you, is putting some evangelistic edge on that. And what is it like to have a door that not only opens out onto the street, but one that opens into the more core activities of the church so that people get to see and get an opportunity to sense the presence of God And sometimes that is through courses that we run. We kind of love our courses. Sometimes it's just through a conversation. Sometimes actually, and increasingly I hear people say, people show up at church on Sunday. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm nervous when I see them coming in the door. Oh, what are they going to think of this? Mm. It's going to be completely weird. But actually the experience is that people come in, and it probably is a bit weird, because let's face it, like every other activity in life, we have our own language and our own way of doing things and explaining things. But actually people coming in the door do have a sense of the presence of God. And you can't buy that, and you can't program that, and you can't plan for that. It's just what it is.
In churches, you still do get people coming saying, I don't know why I come, but I love it here. Can this be my community? I don't believe any of it, but I'm really happy here. And you sit back and you think, we keep preaching the word and we wait for the Holy Spirit to convict.
Yeah.
And we look after them and we care for them and we make them part of us.
Yeah.
And you see it even now, and it is exciting when you see it. So yes, I think everybody does need to be encouraged. We're having a year of telling everybody about present. We're starting to collect stories, and it could be, as you say, exactly what people are doing anyway, but realising it's part of this. And we'll do that into the third year. And then I've written down here, stepping into God's unfolding future. So it's a kind of what next question that every podcaster will throw in at the end.
Yeah. I sense what's happening here is that a lot of our present models of church life are unravelling pretty quickly. And there is a future that is unfolding, but it's unfolding at a much slower pace than the unravelling. And we're finding that really, really difficult to live with. And why wouldn't you? Let's face it. It's a really, really difficult space to be in and a moment to be in as the church. However, I do think God unfolds a future, and you really only get to see it when you take a step into it, and then take the next step, and then take the next step, and then take the next step. Now, if I'm sitting here as the council secretary saying that's how the council's going to operate and how churches should operate, then those two things need to coalesce. And I hope one of the things that present says is it does take a bit of time to get basic ideas, year one. It is good to see how God is at work and be more aware of that with harvesting the stories of what's happening in your congregation's life, year two, celebrating those. And it's never a bad thing not to be so sure about what comes after that and just to step into that moment when it comes.
If the Holy Spirit can't surprise and delight you, who can?
Absolutely.
This podcast is part of the early explaining it to people, but you must have had some feedback by now. How much have you had? What on earth is that about, David?
Yeah, so not lots, because as I say, it was only launched at the General Assembly in June, and here we are in September, and as you said, everybody's been away on their holidays in July and August, so not lots. But you would expect exactly the responses that we've got. We get that. That seems a really good fit. We're looking forward to seeing what's coming. I don't get this at all. You know, what's new in this? How's it any different than anything we're doing already?
Is this just about turning up?
Yeah, it's all of those things. And that's just typical of anything that anybody does, or anything we do in church life that is a bit of innovation or new language around it. People come on board. Some people will never come on board. Some people come on board at different paces. That's absolutely fine. So if it sounds like I'm saying this is a bit underwhelming and it's a pretty modest initiative, you're hearing me right. That's what it is.
And yet, we want it to work. We want people to understand it. We want people to think, how do we become part of this? Don't you want a sense of excitement? Don't you want a sense of buy-in, a sense of engagement?
Well, here's how this is going to work.
Okay.
It's going to work like a seed cast into the ground. Where have you heard that before? It's going to work like a little leaven that's kneaded into the dough. Where have you heard that before? Because, you know, the truth is, well, those are the way God works. It's going to work at 3 miles per hour. Why? Because that's the speed at which God works. As a famous book puts it, the 3 mile an hour God, because that's the speed that Jesus was able to walk at when he was here on earth. And I don't know about you, and I don't know about the rest of the church, but that frustrates the life out of me. I don't want to plant the seed and have to not know what's happening under the ground and have to wait for it. But, you know, that's kind of what the Bible says it's like. And I don't want to be standing there leavening, you know, kneading dough and leaven into the dough, because that doesn't sound very exciting or very impressive. But that's how Jesus says it works. And I don't want to have to wait to see what God's going to do. But you know what? To go back to Moses again, Moses spent an awful lot of time waiting, as much as he did working for God. And so it shouldn't really be any surprise to anybody that that's the way this sounds and that's the way this looks, because hopefully that's what makes it authentic in terms of how we should do things and think about things in the church.
David, thank you so much for taking the time to explain present to us. There's clearly more to come between now and 2027. That is it, however, for this podcast. Our thanks for joining us. Keep an eye and an ear out for more about present over the next couple of years. For now, from me, Will Leach, and from David Thompson, bye-bye.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.